Angels of purity, angels of purity, and they come in white when we call, and they come when we call.
You won't get in any of the breakout groups. Only in this breakout group.
This is the breakout group.
Are you going to do a vacation? Because my body is not ready to sit here. You have to heal me.
We're going to do more than vacation. We're going to sing together.
So this is probably better for you, though, isn't it, Keshvia?
I don't want to sit. That looks too fancy.
Oh.
No, come here.
I actually want somebody to sit here.
Yeah, that's important.
Why?
Because you got to hold. You have to hold the post.
Yes, I said so.
No, this is not good either. Oh. Certainly soft and wonderful, this sheepskin.
Why don't you take the sheepskin?
I have sciatica and certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take
certain things.
Why don't you take the sheepskin and put it on this chair and see if that will work?
Is the problem that the chair's too high?
Okay.
You know, if you don't have sciatica, you don't get it. It torques my back. You get it. It's too high.
This one is too high. Or that one's too
high. Many of them. That one, too. Don't worry about me. But thank you.
I know Mickey is going to come. And his name, I just.
There he is. Got a new name.
Angels of purity. Angels of purity. Angels of purity. Angels of purity. And they come when we
in the wrong lights. Be right back.
So what I'm going to do is sit here until it gets too uncomfortable.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then
yes.
But it's all okay with you guys.
Oh, yeah,
I know it's a drag that
no.
I'm doing that. But.
No, it's not a drag at all. There's nothing like drag about it. Just take care of your body.
Well, I heard that before you start teaching on Tuesday.
No, I want baby.
I know.
No, I've been a teacher too, and it's hard to have you've got people dispersed, you know.
That had beautiful.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Did I choose well?
Awesome.
I chose
did
well.
Did you just get it today?
I just got it today.
That looks awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That feels really good, Amir. I think it feels really wonderful.
No.
I don't know.
So you're in darkness?
How does that?
I think it's darkness.
Remember, it's just the subtler light. I don't know if it's a subtler light, but I don't know. How do other people feel about it? I don't want to make a decision.
Well, I'm going to open this curtain a little bit so we just have natural light.
Yeah, natural light's always
beautiful.
Better.
It's the light when you close your eyes, right? That's the light we're having.
Oh, my God.
The subtler light. Wasn't that awesome?
That was an absolutely...
Oh, my God.
I mean, that talk was just
awesome.
I can't wait to listen to the recording because I heard about 5 sentences and the rest of the time I was just bathed in light. My mind really could not hook on the words because it was just... Light was coming over me.
Streaming.
Wow. Why are you even here? She doesn't need to be here.
No, it was the light. It was... Transmission was coming so strongly that I couldn't focus on words.
I see.
This is what I tell people
when
you get
yesterday.
Despite all appearance.
I stood still.
Right, look, he's just sitting there.
Okay.
The perfection
of love. Harmony and beauty,
the
only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Bismillah,
Erachman, Erachim.
We come together in infinite mercy and compassion, the names and attributes of which have been given to us in our blessings of inheritance. I have welcomed him, but the announcement is that Metti took hand today, took Bayat. Initiation. Method for the initiation.
And is that the new name you got?
No, that's his given name.
Oh, did you get a name?
No, he didn't assign you a name.
Oh, okay.
It's on its way.
It's on its way, apparently. We'll see what quality.
You were initiated by Peter.
Yeah.
I was refreshed.
You had your initiation refreshed?
Yeah.
Had to hit the recycle button?
Did you know that was available?
I did not know.
Because my initiator isn't active anymore, so I asked if it was possible, and it was, and so I partook of it.
So I'm kind of happy. It's a very small group, but everybody has been here, so I don't need to do any recap of anything. We all know where we've been over the last few days, and I was just sort of flipping through some of the quotes that I encountered by Murshidan on symbology, and you know, when we think back to what we've talked about, this is one of the sentences that really does say what we've been doing. The mystic contemplates the being of God, and so raises the consciousness above the limitations of time and space, and liberates the soul by lifting it to the divine spheres. So that's a lot of words to take in all at once, but you can hear a lot of lifting and raising and all of it. And so today is Heart and Wings Day, and that is a good introduction to the mystic contemplating God through the symbol of the heart and wings, because it says, so raising the consciousness above the limitations of what? Not just of our human lives, but of time and space and anything linear, that we are raised beyond the confines of what he called the world of illusion, being the world that we live in every day, ever-changing life. And liberates the soul by lifting it to the divine sphere. So these are wonderful words to begin to tune us to the image of the heart and wings. And maybe I'll read those other ones a bit later on, but Khazranak Khan wanted to give us a symbol that would help us to see the spiritual path of that which liberates. And he called this path the message of spiritual liberty. And sometimes that's interpreted by people as, oh, you can sort of do what you want in the Sufi tradition, the Sufi order. Spiritual liberty. It's like, you know, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. And you know, in his teachings, there are aspects of that. You know, he did teach that there should be no compulsions, this is not a cult, and there is liberty to practice your own free will in your spiritual path. But I think much more than that he meant, the message of spiritual liberty is that the spirit liberates us from the confines of limitation. And this symbol that he gives us, the heart and wings, is a constant reminder of us that this is what this work is about, is to expand us, to lift us, to liberate us, to free us, to help us transcend, and then when we're brought back, like in the names Arafi, the one who raises you up, and Al-Khafid, the one who brings you right down again, this up and down elevator that we experience of consciousness, that we have this place in us to come down to, which is the beautiful heart. And so that's what we'll be meditating on today. Actually, when I say Rafael Chafed, that reminds me of the song we sang last night. When I close my eyes in the solitude, you know, I see your glorious vision, you lift me right up. And then when I open my eyes here, when I've come back down, I open my eyes and I see you. And then the third verse is, you know, you lift me up in a moment and you bring me down in the twinkling of an eye. Ar-Rafi, Ar-Khafid. So let's sing this song, which is really about that. You've already heard this song if you've been coming to the music sessions. But I wanted to sing this with you, so I wanted you to sing this, because I think this is a lovely introduction to today's theme. It's the first one, I Will Soar Higher. So I want to tell you what this song is, because you'd have to read it a couple times to actually realize this is a dialogue with what? It's a dialogue with ever-changing life, the life of illusion, Maya. He is talking to his own kind of life and the life that we live in, and he's got a very loving relationship with it, but he's also kind of, it's kind of spousal relationship almost, you know, like, but I'm telling you this, you know, it's a very, he's having to be very firm with it, saying, you know, you don't really know me, and I'm not going to let you keep me down, I'm not going to let you, you know, it's a very assertive dialogue and very spiritual. They might get anxious about singing. You just pretend that you're a two-year-old and you're just gonna sing the song that's coming to you in the bathtub. You're just gonna improvise this, right? Because kids just sing all the time, or you're in the backyard playing, or you're out on your bicycle, you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and just God has come down to give you these words to play with. I will soar higher than the highest. The scale singing, the first day. Now you do it. Everybody was hypnotized by him. They were all going, I was looking around going, wow, he just hypnotized these people into believing they can actually do that. So I don't have that talent, apparently, because you're kind of mumbling this a little bit. So now I want you to do a little bit of this. That's the magic.
We can do that.
Second verse.
I will reach further than the wide horizon. I will enter within my innermost being. I will reach further and I will enter within my innermost being.
number of things. Reality is the depth of things. The body is the illusion. The soul is the reality. The flower is the illusion. The fragrance is the reality. The fragrance is the spirit of the flower. It persists. The one who does not seek God at the end of the journey of illusion has a great disappointment. For throughout their whole journey, they have not found the perfection of love, beauty, and goodness on the earth. And they do not believe in or expect to find such an ideal in heaven.
The audition, I guess.
There's one in the Vihanyat.
Is there? Really?
Uh-huh, it's in the Bay Area.
So, I thought that Pirzia's classes, I'm gonna liberate you from these song sheets so you don't have to hold things.
Oh, can we have
them? I'll give them to you. You can take them home as take home. I thought Pirzia's meditations have been, and I hope you've been hearing this, the links to the symbology and the mm-hmm. what we've been studying have been great.
Yes, yes.
And of course, in our faculty meeting with them, one of the teachers was saying, oh, you always give a teaching or a practice or something that I was planning on giving that day, and then I have to change. And I looked at her and said, no, that's just the way it happens. You know, like I told the dead horse story, and then the next day he told, of all the thousands of Sufi stories.
Yeah.
He wasn't here. He didn't know it, and that happens all the time.
He wasn't.
He told it as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I told
no,
it
I just
as.
Think he wasn't here.
Yeah.
In this class.
I'm sure he was here.
Oh.
Wow.
Thank you, TA again. She gives the teachings. The merchant is always there. So don't do your bad things wherever you see your merchant. Right? So
I think I was referring to the caliber of your panache shape.
I think that when there is panache shape, you begin to have that mind meld.
Yeah.
And people start giving the same practices or telling the same stories. It happens all the time with me and Shahabuddin, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will give a class and then like a week later he's in Seattle and he's giving the same quotes, the same stories. It's like, oh my God, it happens all the time. So I wanted to tell you a story that I think, in a sense, summarizes our work with symbology, but also is a way to illustrate some of what Pirzia has been talking about. This is a story of the Chinese and Greek artists. You might know this from Rumi's work, but this is a traditional story that, like others, that Rumi took and made it into part of his Masnavi. And he prefaces this story by saying, the prophet said, there are some who see me by the same light in which I am seeing them. Our natures are one. without reference to any strands of lineage, without references to texts or traditions, we drink the life water together. So here right away he's saying, we will raise each other higher and get beyond all limitations, beyond even lineage, beyond scriptures, beyond religion, beyond any of that stuff that anybody owns. We see each other in that light that is beyond all of that. So that's the way he prefaces this story. And this story begins, I'm not going to read every single word that Coleman's rendition, but this story starts off with an argument between the Chinese artists and the Greek artists. And they're, of course, arguing as to who's better, who's the better artist. And they're having this argument in front of the king. And the king says, well, we'll decide it with a debate. And the Chinese begin to talk a lot and begin to present their debate very articulately. And is that a word, articulately?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would be very funny if that was not a word and I said articulately, but it wasn't a word. And so they presented this very lofty philosophical presentation, and then the Greeks didn't say a word, and they just very respectfully left and didn't say anything. So then the king said, all right, well, if that's not going to work, then what we'll do is we're going to have a competition of your painting, of your art. And the Chinese and the Greek artists all agreed to this, and the Chinese asked for 100 colors, all the colors of all the variations. And when the king said to the Greek artists, what do you need for supplies, they said, no colors, no thank you, we don't actually work that way, just give us something to wash with, to clean. So they went to their room, the Greeks did. Oh, sorry, the Chinese did. No, the Greeks did. Here they go. The Greeks said, oh, yes, they're not part of our work, those colors. They went to their room and began cleaning and polishing the walls. So what has happened? I forgot to tell you the setup here. There's a big room like this room, and they put a curtain down the middle of it. And the Chinese artists are on one side, and the Greeks are on another, and they can't see each other. And so what the Greeks do is they just take all these sponges and cleaning supplies, and they start to wash down all the walls and make them very, very pure and white. All day, every day, they made those walls as pure and clear as an open sky. There is a way that leads from all colors to colorlessness. Know that the magnificent variety of the clouds and the weather comes from the total simplicity of the sun and the moon. The Chinese finished their paintings, and they were so happy. The drums were going with the joy of completion. The king entered their room, and he was astonished by the gorgeous colors and detail in the Chinese paintings. And then the Greeks pulled the curtains in the middle of the room, dividing the room. And the Chinese figures and paintings that were on their wall shimmeringly reflected on the clear Greek walls. They lived there, those paintings, on those walls, even more beautifully and always changing in the light. The Greek art is the Sufi way. They don't study books of philosophical thought. They make their loving clearer and clearer, no wantings, no anger. In that purity, they receive and reflect the images of every moment, from here, from the stars, and from the void. They take them in as though they were seeing with the lighted clarity that sees them. So what have we been talking about around symbols? We've got these forms, and that I've been likening that to the step of Marakamba practice, which is to actually meditate on form. So we meditate on the heart and wings. If you look at this picture of Hazrat Khan, he's wearing the big heart and wings pendant. We could just meditate on the heart and wings. We could also meditate on his face, although of course we usually do that when we can see his full glance. But you meditate on the form. And we could say in the story the form was the Chinese painting. And then we contemplate. With our attention we move from what we see in the outer to really what that could be in our inner world, which is not limited by form. It's more what Pierzi was talking about, the light that we see in imagination. that beautiful world of fluidity, that then it becomes, in a sense, an enlivened symbol within us. So, for example, if right now we were looking at that, it would be a beautiful concentration, and then we would could close our eyes, and the heart and wings could, in a sense, play in our minds. It would still be the symbol. It would still work on us. But it would be more like the shimmering reflection on the Greek walls. But then there's this third level, which is what Mercer called meditation, which is when you even go beyond the fluid form. And that is the what Pierzia was talking about this morning, that third level of light, which is still perceptible, but it's not in the world of apprehension with the eyes or even inside the world of imagination. It's something even more subtle than that. And so we can go to that place with heart and wings, beyond even when really it all goes into the secret heart and all aspects of the form of it goes away. And it becomes more of the fragrance of it's the perfume of the symbol that stays with us. So I like that poem a lot. I like that story a lot. it's in this book, and it's also in the Masnavi. So can I lead us in a little bit of breathing again today, a little bit of meditation to help us get into this symbol of the heart and wings? Feel the blessing of your breath in the stillness of your body. There's a pulsation of your breath. It has rhythm, just like there's a pulsation of your heart. Heart is a very human blessing. If one studies the cosmology and the journey of the soul teachings of our tradition, there's really not much of a sense that the angelic planes and the jinn planes are full of the heart quality. They exist there in very subtle ways. But it's really in this human incarnation that we are given the blessing, and of course sometimes it feels like the opposite of blessing, to have this feeling heart. And the feeling heart is full of blossoms and roses and gardens and flowers, but it's also full of scars and marks, bends and dog ears and tattered places. It's a very delicate organ. And of course, the physical heart is one representation of it, but the heart field is vaster than the space our human body takes up. And part of our work is to purify the heart on a regular basis, daily if we can. So let's begin by doing that same breathing that we were doing yesterday with the water purification breath. That's breathing in through the nostrils and out through the mouth. And we use a fairly natural rhythm with this. You don't really extend the breath a lot like we do in some pranayama or other breathing practices. Very natural breath. And yesterday we had the blessing of the teachings of water, so let's begin to again incorporate this as a way to symbolically, in the world of imagination, cleanse the heart. That we can imagine that there is an upwelling from a wellspring of beautiful, pure water as we breathe in. And that pure water passes over and through and around the heart field and washes it from below. As we breathe up, and the energy goes up, and then when we breathe down through the mouth, it comes down like rainfall. And that rainfall is so focused and heavy that it's almost like a waterfall watching your heart from above. And just continue like that, washing both on the inhalation and the exhalation. Up, breathing the wellspring of pure water up through the heart, we can hear within ourselves the name Allah. And that energy lifts up, becomes vaporous. There's clouds in the heavens gathering the light and the energy of heavens, turns into a beautiful rainfall. And as it comes down in the out-breath, we hear within us the name Hu. Allah on the in-breath, Hu on the out-breath, washing from below, washing from above. There may be a particular mark on the heart, a spot, a bit of a stain. You may choose to direct, especially the downward, strong, waterfallish energy on a particular place in the heart that's holding on to its contamination. Toxicity, its bitterness. And when you do that, don't get lost in the story. Don't repeat the story to yourself. Just focus on the mark. When we clean off the mud, we don't have to take ourselves back and review where the mud came from. We just have to get rid of the mud. Let the Allah and the Hu begin to quieten, so it's just a vibration and a rhythm within you with your heart pulse and your breath pulse. Let your breath return to its normal in and out the nostrils. Feel the quality of the heart now. And be aware of the heart as taking up a very large place in the center of your being. And now turn your head slightly to the right and be aware of the wings that are arising out of your ethereal body on the right hand side. One set of wings on the right. Let them be very unlimited. And then turn your head to the left and feel that set of wing feathers in the ethereal body, very unlimited in size, very vast, connected to the heart. Then bring your head back to the center and lift your head up. Feel the energy of the crown and be aware of the energy of the sun. and let that sun then turn into a star, which of course it is, a five-pointed star. All the millions and millions of stars in every galaxy are suns. And now see those as one sun in the form of a five-pointed star. And then bring the head down and feel the energy from around the column, the base of the spine and the solar plexus, the cradle of the heart. And there it's like a crescent, like the crescent moon. And there's a reflection in this very deep place where we're molded from. And that is reflecting the light of the sun, the star which is above us. A wing on the right, a wing on the left, coming out of the one big heart. And above us, touching the apex of the heart, as well as up above our head, is this starlight, star sunlight, and then the crescent underneath the heart, cradling the heart, reflecting the light of the one light. And we're going to touch all these places with divine names. The names for the right and the left wing are the same. We say the name of Holy Spirit. We say Yah Kudus as we turn to the right wing. And as we turn to the left wing slowly, we again repeat the name of Holy Spirit. Come back to the heart. And then come up above, and we say the name of the one who lifts us up. Ya Rafi. And again. Ya Rafi. And then we come down to the cradle, the crescent, and we say the name of the one who brings us down right into our human life, into the very stuff of our human incarnation, the one who brings us down to earth, into the earth sometimes, even into the mud sometimes. And that name is, we say, oh, one who brings us down. Yahafet. Good. So now we're going to say these names in each place one time only as we go through the those points. To the right wing.
Yakadus.
And the left wing.
Yakadus.
Above Rafi.
Yarafi.
To the crescent. Now come to the heart, that unlimited heart which expands with the power of the one we call Basit. And Basit, the expander. Let's try saying Ya Basit.
Ya Basit.
Ya Basit.
Yabasit.
The heart also contracts. The one who contracts, the one who squeezes in life, because of course life is created by contraction and expansion. And the name of that divine attribute, that name of God is Erkabid. Erkabid. So we say Yabasit. You contract.
Ya Kabit.
Good. So now just a few times we're just going to say those two. Vasudev Pada, the expander and the constrictor. Feel your heart becoming vast, and then feel it becoming constricted.
Yabhasit Yakavit Yabhasit Yakavit Yabhasit Yakavit.
Now we do the whole practice. And we're doing this so quickly because we have such little time. I'm teaching you, this is a takeaway practice. This is your homework till the next season of The Rose. Because of course I'd like to do this practice for about 30 minutes. But we're just making an impression, a naksh, and we're going to make a design in us for this practice. To the right wing.
Yakadus.
Left.
Yakadus.
The one that raises us up to heaven.
Yarafi.
The one who brings us down to the crest of Chaf.
Yarafi.
To the heart, we're expanding.
Yabhasit.
And contracting.
Yakadus.
Feel all of that at once now. Feel yourself as a living heart and wings. Now in the heart and wings symbol, the star, sunlight, the starlight lives in the heart. So we bring that light from above the heavens and we place it into our heart. And the crescent comes up and it also comes within the heart. The crescent is underneath the star. The heart is ever expanding, ever lifting, but we know it can be constricted at any given time. And the wings unfurled, helping us soar higher, higher, higher. This card, you've seen them, but just hold one. You know, this week we've been talking about a quality of attention and a quality of looking, the glance of the seer, and Pirzia talked about that penetrating glance of the sage, you know, the eyes that can see through things and to see the reality of something. So, how many times have we passed this card upstairs? You maybe took one and thought, oh, that's very nice. Have you really looked at it? Like,
yeah.
Have you really, really looked at it? You know how yesterday in the movie it said that, you know, that most of us would say we look at it like from our heart. And then Merchant says, really, there's hardly anybody who truly looks at life from the heart. So we could say, yes, I looked at this. But then if we were to take this card and spend an hour with it and memorize it and then close our eyes and dream with it, dream on it, have a reverie, and then another stage of just letting the music of it and the fragrance of it play on us, well, then we might be able to say we're really looking. And the Arabic below, I'm told by my Arabic scholar here, Wad Khuli Janati, enter my garden, the garden of my soul. Is that fair enough?
Paradise.
Enter paradise.
Garden. Just enter my garden, so the garden is paradise. It is the garden of the divine soul. Oh, but the thing about the adkhuli.
Very low, please.
The thing about this adkhuli, so the wa is like just a way to begin. It's like and. Like you're coming, there's something that's coming from before. It says wadkhuli, so enter. So if we say wadkhul, that's masculine. But it's wadkhuli. So it's the address is a feminine address because it's addressing the nafs, the self, not the lower self, the nafs al-mutma'inna, the serene self. It's addressing, right before this, it said, ya ayyatuha nafs al-mutma'inna, O self at rest, self, soul at peace, enter my garden. And nafs, this self, this soul is feminine in Arabic. So there's a real sweetness to this because it uses this feminine form of address. The soul, the self, the human being is partially like personified as female. The soul is personified as feminine. And there's an intimacy and a real sweetness because of that.
And I'm glad you're bringing up the feminine and masculine. I mean, you look at this, one would never doubt about this being a feminine, representation. Hi, come on in and take some dark pictures.
Oh, and
yeah, you're going to have to use a really high ISO.
And I also want to say that Jannah, garden, is also feminine. The word Jannah, the word garden, is feminine. It's used as a feminine. It's used as a name for women, Jannah, Jannat.
And who's doing the talking?
It's the divine voice.
The divine voice.
Yes,
right.
The
exactly.
Divine voice, yeah.
So, because when we're looking at symbols, there are symbols that are predominantly Jalali energy, which is important to see, and then there are others that are Jamali energy, and then there are some that have Kamal, the perfection, which is the Jalal in that right at the perfect place in the middle, which is a place of perfection, but also a place of instability sometimes. So balance is very important. When you're working with symbology, there are times when you're going to want a very Jalali symbol to work with, and other times when it's very important to give nutrition and strength to the Jamali, the feminine archetype in you. And so roses, of course, would be very feminine. And men need to work with this as much as women, probably more so. Women sometimes, when I give a name to an initiate, sometimes I give them a name with a lot of male energy. If the woman is too, has had a difficult time with the delicacy of her constitution, she may need something that actually has a bit more Jalali energy. So that's how we work with symbols. It has medicine and it has certain chemical properties. Remember what Mercy was talking about in the quality of the heart?
Mm-hmm.
Chemical properties. And that's part of the chemistry, is that Jalal, Jamal energies. If you look at the heart and wings, you will see that there is a male and female part of the symbol. What is it?
The moon and the star.
The moon and the star. So the moon is the responsive female archetype. Star is the Jalali male archetype, and here they are in union within the heart. And so that's, Mursha would never have used a symbol for our order that was just male and just female. here it is the union of these two aspects of our nature that's within the heart. So, could you just a slight movement here? Let's look at this symbol that has been given to us very briefly. And we could talk just about the heart for ages, because of course the heart is, this is the, our tariqa, our Sufi way is from a tradition. It's the tradition of the path of love. Not all Sufi traditions are the path of love. There's other pathways. But this is, we're very much in that river of the love traditions. And so, of course, our symbol would include the symbol for love, which is the heart. And our work is very much the work of the heart. It's, as I said earlier on, it's working in ways to expand the heart, to keep it free from the impurities that tend to come in it, because it's so reflective and so absorbent. And so we need to always be conscious of this heart. Can you make me go next? We're just going to look at each. Kashfiya, you may want to, we got slides happening here.
I saw them before.
Did you? Yeah, you saw them before? There
yeah.
You go. Okay. So the copyright watermark is even on this, I just noticed. So I'm really going to go to copyright hell. I really love this. I just love the design of this. And I just grabbed this from somewhere. So this is the garden of the heart. The heart is infinite and it has so much life. It will give life to anything. And it can also die so easily. You know, there are some cold hearts and stone hearts. So that's where the symbol begins. It begins in the world of love and vitality and life-givingness. You know, think about the heart that we see in the ultrasound of the baby. That's the beginning of life.
And there's a bird in there.
There is a bird in there. There's more than
two
one.
Birds.
There's more than one bird. There's two
yes.
birds.
Yes.
Next slide, please. Then we have the wings, the feathered wings, which the heart. Just go back to the heart, would you? Murshid says that the heart is the meeting place between soul and body. So besides it being a symbol of love, it's the symbol of the place in our cosmos where spirit meets matter. So the heart is both. The heart quality is both. And in our path, of course, we're trying to lead both a spiritual life and a very much a life here on earth. So the heart is where that's balanced. Thank you. But it's not enough to have a heart in this symbol. We need something to lift us up off the limitations and confines of the planet. Maybe I can also, just while I'm doing this, maybe I'll just grab a few of Murshid's words in this. This is all well articulated in the Gathas. Oh, this is nice. When the soul is covered by its love for matter, it is naturally attracted to matter. This is the law of gravitation in abstract form. As it is said in the Bible, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When a human being treasures the things of the earth, his heart is drawn to the earth. But the heart is subject not only to gravitation, but also to attraction on high. We aren't just attracted to things on the earth, we're also attracted to things on high. Why else, when we look at the mountaintops or the sky, you know, Sukhawat, always going up, like pointing up to the heavens. Mm-hmm. Didn't you love it when Pirzia today was getting us to contemplate stars? And he was saying the stars aren't only up there, they're also down there. And I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
This is a total aside,
awesome.
Away from this.
Yeah.
This is like
yeah,
a total
yeah.
aside.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting here on planet Earth and I always think the stars are up there. No.
There.
They're also down there, they're all around us. Like,
yeah.
I'm 62 years old, I never realized that. That was cool. Anyway. So, but the heart is subject not only to gravitation, but also to attraction from on high. And as in the Egyptian symbology, wings are considered as the symbol of spiritual progress. The heart with wings expresses that the heart reaches upwards towards heaven. So here's another image of just the wings, but we don't want just the wings. Next slide, please. We want the wings and the heart.
Coloring pages.
The heart with it is,
yeah.
These are coloring books, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The heart with wings expresses the heart reaches upward towards heaven. Next slide, please. Oh, there's another heart and wings. Next slide, please. That's good.
Thank you.
So now the five-pointed star. We could have a six-pointed star like they do in Judaism, but in our tradition it's a five-pointed star. And one aspect of that symbolism is that it's the human figure. So it's the figure of light, but it's also the human figure. If you know Da Vinci's man, you see it in this geometry all through it. You see the two arms and the two legs and the head. And the star represents the one light. Next slide, please, love. Yes, please. Then the crescent in the heart suggests the responsiveness of the heart. The crescent represents the responsiveness of the crescent to the light of the sun. Next slide, please, or just move through. For naturally it receives the light which develops it until it becomes the full moon. The principal teaching of Sufism, here's one of those superlatives, the principal teaching of Sufism is that of learning to become a pupil. For it is the pupil who has a chance of becoming a teacher. Once the person considers that they are a teacher, their responsiveness is gone. That's why when people call me a teacher, I always shake my head and put my hands over my ears, because it's deadly to be called a teacher. The responsiveness is gone as soon as you think you're the thing that the light's coming from.
It's best never to progress past humility.
Exactly. The greatest teachers, the greatest teachers of the world have been the greatest pupils, and it is this principle which is represented by the crescent. The crescent in the heart represents the heart responsive to the light of God, and it is illuminated. Just go through the other crescents for us, love. There's the crescent star. Yeah, another crescent. I just picked a few here. Well, they're going to kind of fast. Okay, that's okay. There's the crescent and star.
Is that Venus?
Yeah, that's actually a planet. Reflect. And so here it is all put together. And I really like the aura of light around this crescent and heart, because that is really in the symbol without being in the symbol. It's the light upon light, the nur. So here we have the full symbol of, and Murshid says here at the end, it is the divine light which is represented by the five-pointed star, and the star is reflected in the heart, which is responsive to the divine light. And the heart, which has by its response received the light of God, is liberated, as the wings show. Therefore, this one sentence will explain in short the meaning of the symbol. The heart, responsive to the light of God, is liberated. The heart responsive to the light of God is liberated. So when you see the Sufi symbol, you can say, oh yes, the heart responsive to the light of God is liberated. You can, there's another maybe slide or two, I don't know. Yes, there's another, that's kind of fuzzy. But this last one, there, you sometimes see the Sufi symbol like this with the up. Yeah. Thank you. Go back to the slide of Murshid. So let me tell you something about this, the progress of a symbol. When I was 21 years old and first encountered Sufism, I was driving a Volkswagen Beetle at the time, and I went to some camp and I bought a decal. You know, the heart and wings decal. Anybody else have a decal in their window? Yeah. So I put it in the back of my Volkswagen Beetle, and that was the way I first impressed the symbol of the heart and wings. You know, I was just a kid. And like Tasneem was saying last night, you know, she went through the trappings of, you know, wearing white and whatever it was that we do because we're saying I'm spiritual, you know. So I had a decal in the back of my car. That's sort of, so that's one level. That's, you are impressing a form on yourself, but you know, it wasn't very long after a few years that, you know, and whenever I had to change my car over, I wasn't putting that decal on anymore. Because, of course, the symbol had deepened in me, and that would even be almost a, I won't say sacrilege, but it would be devaluing it. Because you've gone, it would be like going back to kindergarten with a symbol. So at a certain point, when I was 40 years old, I was in, I was turning 40, it was my birthday, and I was on a train from London to Paris with my then fairly new love of my life, just a couple of years in. And she pulls out of her big bag this package, opens it up, and there's this stained glass heart and wings like this, which she has brought all the way from Canada so that she can give me on a train almost just outside of Paris on my birthday. Of course, at that point, I didn't know whether this was perfect love or perfect insanity.
Did she know you were single?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
they're married.
We were almost married at that point. Were we married at that point? No, we weren't married, but we were living together. Of course, that stained glass now hangs in our big bay window in the living room, and so that's much better than a decal in a car. But, you know, I look at it from time to time, and I do my prayers in front of it. But now it's really, the heart and wings has gone into me so much that, you know, really, if that fell and crashed, I don't know if I'd get another stained glass. At a certain point, the symbol becomes so impressed in you that the essence is there. And so this is kind of a summation of our work together is that symbols move from form, which is concentration, into something that's a bit more fluid and imaginative and dance-like, and that would be more like the stage of contemplation. But at some point, it's just the Greek shimmering colors on their wall, just the essence of something. So when you work with symbolism, and I hope you all do work with your own, I want you to create your own religions, actually. You know, you need your own symbols for your own religion. My teacher, Shahabuddin, and his son, his youngest child is Vadan. And Vadan, when he was about 12 years old, said to Shahabuddin, I don't want to belong to anybody's religion. I'm going to start my own religion. It's going to be called Vadanism. And only one person can be in the religion of Vadanism. It's just me. There's only one person. I'm going to have my own beliefs and my own. And Shahabuddin just thought this was great, you know, because that really is what we do when we have beautiful faith, is we create our own haq, our own representation of haq. And we can do that within any religion too. You know, I've never met any Muslim or Christian who does a cookie cutter version of their religion. It's each person has their own form. So I'm hoping that a little bit of this teaching will inspire you to come up with some symbols that actually work for your life right now, and you can call it Methyism or Anagyism or whatever you want to call it. But it will, these symbols will steep and, what are they called in cooking? Infusion. Mm-hmm. You'll get infused with this, so you won't even need the form anymore, just be so infused in you.
My memory of the train, they had a little tiny cookie, and the candle, it felt saying happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the train saying happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those irritating candles. Very mechanical sound, you know, but everybody started laughing, everybody started singing, and here I was holding my precious stained glass window, like, I'm looking at it going, I've got to carry this around Europe in this month. You're insane, woman, what have you done? But of course, that meaning is in it too, so
yeah,
now I've got that,
it's
just infused into it.
Infused with that, yeah.
I want to finish with the blessing of the heart and wings that we can actually do for each other. If you've taken initiation, you've already got the blessing of heart and wings on your forehead, but I thought we could do it for each other. But I just realized that I never talked about one of the most important things of symbolism, so which is Nazul and Urush. And I won't have time, but it's really too bad because it's one of my favorite parts of the subject and I just completely didn't get to it. So if you're really interested in this topic, you might want to punch that into a search engine like Wahidadeen.net. Do you all know about Wahidadeen.net?
I've heard it, but I don't think I can spell it.
Wahidadeen.net. Wahidadeen is a dear friend of mine. He lives in Colorado, and he has created a beautiful, profound website that has all the message volumes and much, 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 much more, and it's all searchable. So you can just put in Nazul. You can put in, what was the word you said?
Dazzling.
Yeah, somebody said dazzling. Was that really a word that Mercer used? And I said, yeah, you can do the search engine and you'll find it right there, dazzling. Briefly, when the artist, that's the seer, the one that has the glass to see symbols in nature, that Nazul is when everything in nature begins to give itself as a symbol to your eyes. And so, for example, you see the tree and you see, oh, the arms are blessing me, like we said in that song the other day. And, oh, that sound of the bird, that's the sound of prayer. Oh, the sweet river, this is purification. It's just all coming to you. This is the revelation of Nazul. And Mersha says, Urush is when the symbols arise for the artist from within. It's the rising. So Nazul is, it's kind of coming, it's being given to you from above. Urush is when it rises from the artist within, and all of a sudden there's symbols, like, and when you see people's art, it's like coming up from some wellspring of...
creating?
Yeah, yeah, it's the creation. So read about that if you're interested in that.
Nazul, literally it's like descent, and Urush is ascent.
Yes, yes. It's divine immanence and divine transcendence, and it's all that, it's that dance of duality. So what I'd like us to do is to just work in pairs for a few minutes. Oh, does anybody have to leave? Can we go 5 minutes overboard today?
I actually have to leave because I have to open the room.
We can do this within 5 minutes then. Can you and Linda work together, please? Or maybe can you come?
No,
Linda.
I can, yeah. I just
and
wasn't sure who. Hello.
And you
Hi.
Two. And you two.
My foot's asleep, so hang on. Okay.
Okay. Now decide who is going to be the first. In fact, I'll just tell you.
Why don't you come up?
So you're going to be one, and so it's going to be two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. All right, so just for a moment, feel within yourself the blessing of the heart and wings on you like we did before. So that you are a living embodiment of the heart and wings. Feel that big heart, those wings, the star, the crescent. And imagine that's been so infused in you that now you have the absolute power and majesty of that symbol, and it actually comes out of your glance, it comes out of your touch, it comes out of your breath, it comes out of your fragrance. And that you can offer that gift with that beauty and power in an unlimited way. And I'd like all the number ones to stand up now and go to the back of the person, your partner, and without touching their back, this is working with light, I want you to inscribe a very big heart on their back, but not on it, just in their light field. So just bless it, bless their heart field with the design of the heart. And bring real blessing with your hands, so you actually draw it with your hand. And then you draw the wings, blessing their body with the wings. And now draw a five-pointed star at the apex of the heart. And beneath that star, draw a crescent. And if you're having this drawn on you now, just feel the blessing of that being drawn on you from behind. And now come around the front. And now do the same thing on your partner's forehead by actually touching their forehead. Start with the heart and the third eye, and then draw the wings and the star and the crescent. And now we return the favor. So the number twos are now going to be offering the blessing. Infinite power and beauty of blessing. Don't hold yourself back when you're doing this. This is coming through you, not from you. It's God's blessing through your hands. So you go behind the person. Start with the heart, then the wings, then the star, then the crescent. When you're finished that ethereal inscription in their heart field from behind, come around and offer them the blessing on their forehead with your gentle touch, the divine touch through your fingers. Reflect thy light, Lord, as the moon reflects the light of the sun in love, always in love.
My sister's garden, my brother's light, they spring from out my bedroom like wings on either side. Haron was Moses' pride. Friend of love's return.
So let's all come back into our circle and we'll close. Take a song sheet when we disperse, they're right here. But I want to thank you for coming and inspiring the room and bringing your smiles. And I hope you've enjoyed this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Can we get close enough to hold hands and finish with?